Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Maybe I should have left my Moses / Noah outfit on. Might have preached better, I don't know. Genesis chapter 6. In verse 5 it says this, "And God said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Let's pray. Father, I just ask you, Lord, please, to just use this time in your word. Holy Spirit, please speak to our hearts. Please take the teachings of the Scriptures, Lord, and impress them upon our hearts, Lord, tonight. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled the message, "God Found a Man." You know, here Noah is born into a fallen world. We're born into a fallen world also. But he found grace in the eyes of God, and he lived a life that was exemplary. And that's why God used this man. I think God's looking for men today. I think God's trying to find some men that'll stand up, and women and ladies and young people that'll stand up in a fallen world. A world that's just upside down and inside out. I hope you're just encouraged tonight, really, to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, just like Noah did. So God could use you. Really use you. Do you have a real desire to see God work in your life? You know, that may sound rhetorical to some people. Of course I do. Do you really want to see God use you in this fallen world? Do you really want to make a difference like Noah did in the world that he lived? You know, Jesus is coming back soon. I really believe that. I don't know. It could be 50 years, 100 years. But, you know, he's coming back soon. I really believe he's on the doorstep of heaven, getting ready to step out here into time and come and take us home. But unless we as Christians wake up, our time is going to pass with having no effect on this world. Now, I know we have our dribs and drabs and we have our drops, but I want to see the showers of blessing. I want to see the salt really affect this decaying world. I want to see the light really turned on brightly, whether it's in Ballincollig or Carrigaline or wherever it is, that there be a great light shining. And I think God is looking for a man. I think God's looking for a woman. I think God's looking for young people. Somebody that's going to say, I am going to give my heart and my life, my soul, to Jesus Christ. You know, turn over to Matthew chapter 24, lest you think those were some wicked days back there in Noah's time, and they were. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks a little bit about in chapter 24 of Matthew about the tribulation, and he's talking about the second coming, and the rapture precedes that. And then when we get in verse 36 of Matthew 24, it says, "But of the day and the hour no man knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So, you know, those days are compared to our days. You know, I mean, this is 2,000 years ago this was written, but it's talking about today. These are the days when Jesus, if you believe Jesus is coming back and it's going to be soon, then this is the days we're living in. Everything seems okay. It's all right. It seems pretty normal. People are having their meals and they're drinking their drinks and they're marrying and they're giving in marriage. Everything seems to be okay. It seems normal. But God sees the heart. God sees down behind the floorboard. God sees the wickedness and the evil only continually in men's hearts. And I know that that bothers the Lord very much. Every imagination. The Bible tells us that things seem to be normal, but that there was an undercurrent of evil in the world. And there's an undercurrent of evil in the world today. There's a spiritual battle. It's like the guy comes into your house and tells you you have termites. You know, and he has to probe around with a screwdriver to find where those termites are. Because he's hitting that good wood and all of a sudden, goes right through. Why? Because behind the board there on the wall, it's all eaten away. There's nothing there. If you peel back that layer over this world, you'll see all the evil that's going on out there. And all the wickedness that's in men's heart. That's what God sees. We don't see it. It's behind. We don't see it. It doesn't look as bad, but it's there. And the world is blinded by religion. They think they're okay. And the power of Satan blinded their minds to the gospel. And their own lustful desires have kept them from coming to Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Ireland is a reproach to God. If they allow this stuff to go on, if they won't vote for God, so to speak, they won't say enough is enough. But Ireland's no different than any other country in the world. It's turned its back on God. And we're going to reap what we sow. Whether it be freedom if we choose God or bondage if we choose sin. Because righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Turn to 2 Peter 3:10. You know, the scoffers and those who laugh and at Bible believers, I feel bad. I'm burdened for people like that because they think it's going to be okay. They just think we're a bunch of quacks. You know, where's the promise of His coming? But in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. As it says in verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God's timetable is different from ours. He's not constrained by time. A moment could be 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be a moment to Him. He's not in time. The world doesn't seem to care. They think the judgment, that they don't believe that there's a judgment, but it's inevitable. It's coming. You can't avoid it. The great white throne, they'll be there. So why am I saying all that? I'm not talking to the wicked. I'm talking to Christians. We're the ones that can do some good in this world and bring them back and make a difference in their lives. It's you and me that need to be the Noahs of today. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And the world is just as wicked as it was in Noah's day. And God found one man. Can't God find a man right here in this room tonight? Somebody who may be on the brink of saying, I want to serve God. I want to go to the mission field, or I want to preach, or and just is holding back. Maybe tonight you just say, I want to give my heart, my life, my soul to Jesus Christ. Let Him do whatever He wants to do with me. You know, hope doesn't lie out in the world finding its way through this mess. It's not going to happen. Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I thank God for that. But hope lies with God. Hope lies with God and with God's people. God has chosen us to be the agent of change in this world. God has chosen us to be the salt and the light in this world. Jesus is in heaven on His throne waiting to take us home. Now's the time to be the light in this world. Now's the time to be a Noah. We need to find the grace like Noah did to serve the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, Paul got his calling, his commission. And Jesus told him in Acts 26:18, Paul's repeating this back, this is my calling. He told me in verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He says, now to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what we're supposed to do. Oh, to see like Jesus sees. To see people as Jesus sees them. To see souls instead of just people that are in my way. Not driving the car the way I do. It really burdens you when you think about it, how little we see the way Jesus saw things. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. When Jesus looked on the multitudes, He was moved. That means down deep in His heart, He was moved with compassion and pity on them. Every once in a while, do you catch yourself being moved? I mean, I do. I'm sure you do. You're not a stone. Every once in a while, you're moved with compassion. Jesus constantly looked on the multitudes and was moved like that in His heart to do something. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. How do you see the world? It's going to make all the difference whether you're moved in your heart to do something, and then God can say, I can use that man. I can use that woman. I can use that young person. They're moved about what they see. They have a burden for people's souls. The world needs some Noahs. God used Noah. Why? God didn't stumble across Noah all of a sudden and just find him, you know, and then use him. Noah was different from the world around him. He was different. In fact, I think he's the only one that was different. Imagine all the people that were all over the earth, and he finds one man. One man was living a just life and a life before God that was pleasing to God, and God said, and he found grace in the eyes of God. God said, there's somebody that's different, and I can use them to bring my grace upon this world, to build an ark. Hopefully, some people would have got on, but they didn't. You know, Noah still had a fallen nature, but he was looking for God. He walked with God. Noah wasn't part of the crowd. He wasn't a rebel. He walked with God. Noah was looking for God's blessing, and he found it. He found grace. He was looking for God. He wanted to serve God, and the only way to serve God is by the grace of God. And he found it. And God gave him that grace. Just like Adam found no suitable helper among the animals he was looking for, but God had to provide. He was looking for an Eve, for somebody that was suitable. And he found no suitable helper. And God gave him a Eve. Tell that to the Irish government. He was looking for an Eve. Is the perfect match, you see. But he found no suitable helper. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6. I just want to encourage you tonight. This is one man. One man. And I'll show you later, he wasn't a failure by any means. Some think, oh, nobody got on the ark. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but how about John? He was just one voice. God said he was a burning and shining light. He rejoiced in him for a season. Imagine what one person can do. I don't think we realize what one person can do if they'll just give their heart to God. And they'll ask for God's grace so that they can serve Him acceptably. What one person can do. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God found someone that he could entrust his desire to. His desire to see people saved from the judgment to come. God found somebody that He could entrust His desires to. God wants to entrust His desires to people right here in this room. He wants you to carry His gospel out into a dark world. A world just like Noah's. Full of violence and evil. It's all there. You don't see it every day, but it's there. And it's running around in the hearts of people. And God's looking for somebody that can pour His Spirit into and give them all the grace they need to take that gospel out into the world. He's looking for somebody to be burdened. People need to be saved from the judgment that's coming. Noah received the instructions from God to build a life-saving ark. God found a man. Why? God found a man that He could use. Noah walked with God. That means he followed God. One other man is said to have walked with God. Look in chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a testimony that God said, you know what, Enoch, I want you up here with me. He was just, his walk pleased the Lord. Now I'm sure Paul walked with God and Timothy, and there's many people that walk with God. But just that one little phrase, there's two, just two. There's Enoch and there's Noah. They walked with God. You know, you have to be arm in arm, lockstep with the will of God in order to walk with Him and to follow Him. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. They cannot walk together except they be agreed. And unless we agree with God and are doing His will, we are not walking with God. Let's not fool ourselves. We're not walking in the will of God, then we're not walking in fellowship with God. It's not a walk with God. Noah sought God. Look at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. You want to hold your finger there. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. You probably know where I'm going. In verse 29:13, it says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I guarantee you, upon the authority of Scripture, if you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. Amen? If you seek Him with all your heart, not half-heartedly, not kneel down and play games with God, and we've all been there. If you seek Him with all your heart, you'll find God. You'll have an encounter with the Almighty. And He'll reveal His will to you. And He'll pour out His grace on you. Because He's looking for some Noahs. He's looking for some people to step up and be a light in this world. Noah desired God's grace. You know, Enoch and Noah, they didn't tell God what they were going to do. God told them what to do. It would be good for us to say, Lord, what do You want me to do? Instead of me telling You what I want to do, would You please tell me what You want me to do? And I need Your grace to do that. I need Your help to do that, Lord. Noah's life was right in line with the will of God. Noah stayed close to God. And if you're back in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 22, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him in building the ark. So did he. Noah just obeyed God. He just simply obeyed God. God could trust him. God could give him all the instructions for the ark. And Noah did exactly what God told him to do. Noah obeyed God. Don't lightly move that away. Don't think, okay, give me something new, Dan. Give me something cool to put my mind on. No, no. Noah obeyed God. If I could just obey God, I'd be in a good place. And so would you. You would be walking with God if I just obeyed Him every day. But we don't. Noah was a just man. It means that he was fair, equitable. He was just. His life was conformed to the truth. This is God speaking to him. This isn't Noah telling you who he is. This is God telling you who Noah was. That he was a just man. And his life was conformed to the truth. He could be trusted. I wonder, could we be accused of being just in our dealings with people? Would somebody know us enough and say, that's a just man. That's an equitable woman. She deals rightly with people. She's upright. Would you say you have integrity? Would you say you're an upright person? Because Noah was. He was just. And he was an upright person. That's what Noah was. And God found that man. And he used him. Noah was perfect in his generations, it says there in verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. So he was an upright man. And as I said, this is God's testimony about Noah. Wouldn't that be nice to have God speak that way about you and me, about who I was? People may do evil all around you, but we, like Noah, should have integrity and be honest. It doesn't matter what the world's doing. It makes no difference what people say, whether it's evil and the things that they do that's evil. It makes no difference. That's not the way I'm supposed to live. They're not guiding me. I'm to make a difference in their life. They're not to make a difference in my life. People could be all around you, but we're to be like Noah. We should have integrity and be honest and upright. Why? So that we can be a Noah in this generation. We should be different. We should be different. The world doesn't need more of itself. It needs something completely different. Something different to look at. They're going to see something different at the parade. What is that? But you know what? They're going to step back and go, wow. Man, look at those Bible verses and look at those people dressed up that way. They must really love God. I mean, they're different than the rest of the stuff going on. And who wants to go down to Cork and see that garbage thrown in your face? We're going to be different. We're going to be so different that everybody's going to be looking at it. And they're going to see every sign. Maybe God will use that to turn somebody's heart. Wow. We should be different in our generation. Noah was different. I mean, nobody else got on the ark but his family. So, he was the only one. He was different, though. He wasn't like the crowd. The world wonders at the perfect man. Psalm 37:37. Some of you could quote it. I almost put John's life verse down. Psalm 37:37 says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, you just live for God, you'll have peace. Peace with God. Peace that goes through the turmoils and all the troubles of life. In the midst of a wicked world, in the midst of all that goes on in this world, we can still have peace. I'll admit to you this, though. Andrew, you don't look at that computer as much and watch all that. There is nothing good, is there? Very seldom. You're right. It can turn your spirit around. But you know, at the end of the day, when you know the Lord and you're walking with God, you have peace in your heart. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. The perfect man has peace. Because he's right with God. What can you do to me? Kill me? I go to heaven. So, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man's peace. The world is taking as many pills, drinking as many drinks as they can to try to numb themselves and find some place where they're not thinking about their hopelessness. But not the Christian. We have peace in our hearts in the midst of all the turmoil of the world. Noah was righteous. Look at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. Noah was righteous. In Genesis chapter 7 verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You know, Noah's family was godly because Noah was righteous. It would pay us to be righteous in our homes. May our lives never turn our children away from God. May what they hear or see in us never turn our children away from God. Oh, that God would just see us righteous before Him and in our homes. 2 Peter 2:5 says He was a preacher of righteousness. That's a good thing, isn't it? We have an opportunity to preach righteousness. Every time we have a gospel tract, we can be a preacher of righteousness. What a good goal to attain to. And somebody say, that's a preacher of righteousness over there. That woman's always giving out tracts. She's a preacher of righteousness. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was warned of God, and then Noah warned the people of his day. Now, we've been warned of God. We know. We just read a verse of Scripture. It says He's coming back soon, that there's a judgment. You've all read Revelation 20. You know there's a great white throne judgment coming. You know that we have a judgment also at the Bema Seat of Christ. We all have to answer. There's judgments coming. Are you warning anybody else? Are you telling anybody else that there's a judgment coming? No matter how much they laugh and giggle and scoff, are you telling? Are you being a Noah? This world has no other way of knowing except we tell them. No other way. They can't do anything about it unless we tell them. So every day that goes by that we don't tell them, there's another day we're going to have to stand before Christ. And you'll have really no answer, neither will I. Have you warned anybody lately? And if you don't warn them, who is? How are they going to know if we don't tell them? Noah preached and he hammered. So, you say, I work 8 hours a day. Good, so did Noah. Maybe a whole lot longer. Hey, I'm a missionary now. I don't have to work. I don't know. I had 34 years and I'm retired. And I knew what it was to work. But you know what? I still work. And you know what? But Noah hammered and preached. You don't think he was preaching the whole 120 years. No, he was hammering, building an ark. And we could do the same. He sawed the wood and preached. He warned and he worked. So all of us have the time to be preachers of righteousness. All of us have the time to warn somebody. Because that 8 hours you're at work, there are some breaks. Maybe you could tell them then. Maybe you could even let on that you're a Christian. Because maybe they haven't figured that out yet. God will use us because we are kind of in the same situation and the same opportunities that Noah had to serve God. Except there's more than one Noah even in this room. I know there's people here that want to serve God. Our world is falling apart at the seams. You know, even we're getting insensitive to the fact that people's heads are getting cut off. Oh, that's like number 8 or something, isn't it? We're becoming insensitive to what's happening in our world. Our world is unraveling. And this is only the beginning. When the church gets taken out of this world, it's going to get so bad, it's going to be unbelievable. The lawlessness that all down. But right now, the world's falling apart. Good is really evil, isn't it? And evil is really good, isn't it? It is. That's just the way the world is. The more evil it is, the better they like it. When you can get a young girl from London, 16 years old, to get on a plane to fly to Syria, to be with ISIS, something's wrong. Evil has become good. When you're looked at as crazy for believing that it's Adam and Eve that fit so perfectly together, and not two men or two women, you're looked at as, are you insensitive and intolerant? No. It's a man and a woman are the only two that can propagate and have children. How are you going to have children? Some preacher got in trouble for saying we ought to put them all on an island somewhere, all the men and all the women over here, and just go ahead and let them go. Let them do whatever they want. Because in 70 years, there won't be any left. He got in trouble for that. It's so unnatural that it stuns you, doesn't it? It's so unnatural. That's the world we live in. And the Lord is looking to His people to do something about it. So it's really shame on us. We can find the grace we need. Turn to Hebrews, you're in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4. And in verse 16. The next time I catch myself saying this is too big for me, I'm just going to come to this verse. I'm going to say, God's going to give me all the grace that I need. I can't want more grace than He can provide. Because He says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If I have a time of need, then I've got to realize that I'll never need more grace than God can give me. Never. It's whether I want to go to that throne and say, Lord, I need You. And I need all the grace that You can give me to make a difference. I can't do it without You. Are you walking with God? Are you walking in the will of the Lord? You know, it's hard to obey sometimes. But if you find it hard to obey all the time, something's wrong. You know? I mean, really, it's God's will. It's perfect. It's the best. And if you constantly find that hard to do, you need to get on your knees and repent. Something's going on down deep in your heart if you don't love the will of God. Are you walking arm in arm with God? Would He be pleased by your behavior when nobody else is around? Would He be pleased with that? Micah 6:8 says to walk humbly with thy God. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says how you ought to walk and to please God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. How to walk. How to follow after God. To be pleasing to Him. Our life is to be a life of following Jesus Christ. Wherever He goes, I go. I'm following Him. Are you living so as to find the grace of God to serve Him acceptably? You really want to serve God. If you do, the grace of God will be there to help you. Are you just? Are you upright? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Because Noah was. And that's why Noah was used of God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Bible says that we live in a crooked and perverse nation. And all we have to do is look around, and it's crooked and it's perverse. It's twisted. It's turned aside. It's away from God. The world has not gotten any better since Noah. They cleaned it up, and it's right back there again. Otherwise, God wouldn't say He's going to destroy it. He's kept it in store. He said He's reserved in store this world to be judged by fire. So He knows it's, we need a new one. We need a new heaven and a new earth. But to be just, to be blameless, that's not just for pastors. Every Christian is to be blameless, above reproach, without fault, innocent, not hurtful, godly. Godly. I want to be like God. I want to be like Jesus Christ. That's the way we're supposed to be. I know it's a great goal to attain, but that's where we should be headed. That should be our focus. I want to be like Jesus. This world needs the Bible, holding forth the word of life. This is what the world needs. This book. And the only way they're going to get that is from our lips. From our heart out through our lips. To tell them. To be a light. We are to be above reproach. No matter what others say, no matter how others live, we are to be different. Young people, be different. It's a breath of fresh air to see girls and young men dressing and living right, not cursing, not going places that destroys their testimony. It is such a breath of fresh air. to see young people living for God. Are you living for the Lord? Are you trying to raise a godly family? Look at Psalm, like Noah did. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. You know, David made a lot of mistakes. But he loved God's principles more than anything else. David loved the Lord. And he loved His statutes and His principles. In Psalm 101, though, look what he says in verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. You know, when David repented, he repented, man. He had to suffer a lot of the consequences of that, but David was a passionate man. And when he repented, he repented. He got right with God. He said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Man, David, you know, when you see that, I will, you know what that is? That's a decision. He made a choice. You don't have to put wicked things before your eyes. David said, I will behave myself wisely. And I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. David loved God's principles, His laws. We should love them the way David does. Did. You know, it's only quarter or two. We've got a lot of time yet. I know that, brother. I thought I had 5 hours to preach. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David says, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. David loved the Word of God. But you know, a living, breathing example is a whole lot better than just a say-so Christian. Something that somebody can see, an example, is a whole lot better than just telling your children or telling other people, but living that out before them. A living, breathing example is so much better than hollow words, because that's all they are. They go out and they fall. But a living example of living for the Lord and walking in your house with a perfect heart will make all the difference in your world, in the world, to the people in that house with you. Conclusion. Do you have a desire to be used of God? I wonder if God could find someone in here tonight, a man or a woman or a young person tonight, that He could use. Noah was not a failure. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 7, again, look what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You ought to underline that. To the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Some would look at Noah as a failure. Preached for all those years and only his family got on the ark and a bunch of animals. Say that again now. His whole family got on the ark with him. Do you want your family to go to heaven? And what kind of time and what kind of resources do you have? And how are you working to see that happen? Do you want your family in heaven with you? Because Noah was a success all the way because he was faithful. That's success with God is being faithful. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God, he made that ark, he built that ark, he preached, he did exactly what he was told, and his whole family got saved. And he also saved the whole future world. We all come from Noah. And his family. That's amazing. Because one man said, I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to be just, and I'm going to be perfect in my generations. If you want to see your family saved, do something about it. Start praying for them. And then put some legs to that. And then say something to that person that you always know says, don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about that religion anymore. Don't want to hear. Tell them again. Tell them again. What can we do? 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Second Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God does beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Do you see that we're representatives of Christ here on earth? Doing His will. We are ambassadors for Him. We are doing the will of God. Our responsibility is to take the message of reconciliation, bringing those who are at odds with each other. We're the enemy of God before we get saved, but we need to be reconciled to God, brought back into a relationship with Him again that's favorable. How? With the message of reconciliation. The world needs to be reconciled to God, so they need us to tell them. We're commissioned by God to go. He said, we are ambassadors. God wants to save this world from sin more than you'll ever will. He just needs, He wants to use us. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We're to be effectual. For a great door and effectual, something that's going to produce some results, has been opened to me, Paul said. I want to be a force for good, don't you? Don't you want to make a difference in your home and and where you live and every day that you're out in the world? Don't you want to make a difference? We have an opportunity today. We have an open door. We're to have effect on the world around us. There are adversaries. There's a lot of adversaries out there. We know about the devil. I was an adversary. I didn't want to hear it. I told the man that came to my door, yeah, and blew him off. And I know what it's like to get blown off when you go to a door. Because I blew them off. Leave me alone. Yeah. But he just wouldn't stop coming. And I believe he was praying for me. I was his adversary. And the devil was fighting against John Mitchell. But he kept coming. And he kept knocking on my door. He finally got saved. So there's going to be adversaries out there. Who wants it easy anyway? Otherwise we wouldn't depend on God if it was easy. Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of His power. God wants to show His power in us. God wants to use us. We just need to just yield and say, Lord, do Your will through me. God is still looking for those who will stand in the gap. God found the man in Noah. Can God say, I found a person tonight that I can pour my grace upon? Some young person that I can use maybe. Would that person be here tonight? Maybe it's you. You're ready and willing to give your life in complete submission to God. It doesn't have to be a special meeting. It doesn't have to be a missions meeting. It can happen on a Sunday evening where you say in your heart, I want to give up and stop fighting God and just submit to His will for my life. That could happen tonight. God found a man in Noah's day. I wonder if He could find one here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for a man like Noah and what we can learn from him. He was a success in Your eyes because of faith. He followed You and He walked with You, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that we might be Noah's. We might believe You enough and love You enough to walk with You and trust You and be used of You to affect this world that we live in. Because You're coming back. And You're going to judge this world. And they're already under the wrath of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to be the ambassadors for Christ that we ought to be. I pray, Lord, that the words that are said, that the Holy Spirit would take them and empower them and put them in people's hearts and do the conviction that we need in order to serve You acceptably. And so, Lord, I just pray You bless the message to people's hearts tonight. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.